Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Denise Baker Enegbunabo, and I want to welcome the world to the Wellness Journey Studios Courageous Conversations Just Say No podcast. And just so we are on the same page, no is spelled K-N-O-W. Yes. So, I am glad we can connect. Thanks for listening in. I am not convinced that I am an activist. However, I am positively sure that I am an invested stakeholder in my community and country. I want to be a voice for social issues that affect us all and do two things: put the card on the table and have the courageous conversations to address the reality and find solutions. If we start at being human beings and actually get back to our humanity, I believe we can solve our social issues together. I promise it will be short and sweet. Our topic, we the people within the USA, meaning the United States of America. First thing we want to look at is the Constitution. In the beginning, the legal document called the Constitution replaced the Confederation Articles in 1789. It clearly states, we the people, that is who we are, a democracy, a group of people over 50 states that choose the president and its Congress. We the people, which means that all the people have equal rights. The 14th Amendment, which was ratified in 1868, assures that all people born or naturalized in the USA and former enslaved people are in fact considered citizens of the United States of America. So I just become very troubled that dating way back in history, this was enacted and we still have issues with race. The Constitution does not say some people. It does not say white people. It says we the people. Yes, there have been some amendments, but it is still the same legal document. The Constitution, the laws of the land that says all people have equal protection under the laws. So why are we still divided by race in the United States? It is the biggest wrecking ball that is destroying our country. Okay, so let's put our first card on the table. I believe that we are conflicted because we want it to be all or none. It is not quite that simple. With the card on the table, let's ask the question, why do we have racial divide in the USA? Well, some say that only white people should have all the power and privilege, along with the ability to rule. However, that is not in the Constitution. It says nothing about race. It says founders, but it does not say white founders. Now, granted, they were white, but I believe the founding fathers were looking towards the future of the USA and the diversity it would promote. That is the reason they said, we the people. The founders could have easily have said, white people rule. Something to think about. So let's get rid of the first myth that white people only should rule the USA, because that is not factual. Let's look each other in the eye and remain true to the Constitution. You with me? It's something to think about. When we look at the true factual story without all the myths and fantasy, we see history shows that European white men, trying to escape from being oppressed and persecuted themselves in their own home country, the United Kingdom, these white oppressed people began to exert power and take land from the Native American Indians after acting like they were their friends. A better word for it is they stole the land. History shows that the Native American Indians were on the land, living within their own culture and values for some time with no problems. Then these white men became ruthless and wiped out entire Native American families, elders, mothers, fathers, and children. That is the beginning of brutality against humanity, which includes slavery. So this is just my opinion, but it's very hard for me to believe that men that were oppressed in the United Kingdom would come and take land from another group and culture in a very heinous kind of way. It just doesn't ring true to me. But history says it is true. So, okay, let's fast forward to the year 1619, when a ship arrived in the British colony in Virginia, and on board they were carrying enslaved Africans, which indeed became the original sin for the United States of America, starting in 1619. That is factual. That is American history, and it can be verified. Using chattel slavery, white people came up with a way to identify different people by color, creating the word race. Race was used to identify kinship and group connections, which worked to sort people by social class and skin color. But the word race is a totally human invention. It came to be during the 1500s when the formation of the United States needed to be able to support its new economic system of capitalism in creating generational wealth. Europeans decided that forced free labor, known as slavery, was the best way to build. So how did white Europeans get to categorizing people by race? Let's put the second card on the table. From about the 1550s to 1600, white was exclusively used to describe elite English women because the whiteness of skin signaled that they were persons of a very high social class. Initially, the racial identity of white referred only to Anglo-Saxon people. However, the number of people considered white would grow as people wanted to push back against the increasing number of people of color due to slavery, emancipation, and immigration from other countries who wanted to identify as white. Activist Paul Kivel said, "Whiteness is a constantly shifting boundary separating those who are entitled to have certain privileges from those whose exploitation and vulnerability to violence is justified by their not being white. As the social inventions of race in the word white succeeded in uniting the white colonists, dispossessing and marginalizing native people, and permanently enslaving most African descended people for generations, generational wealth began to grow. Tragically, American culture, from the very beginning, developed itself around the ideas of race, racism, and slavery. So let's put another card on the table. And this card is something that you rarely hear anything about. It's never a topic of conversation. So the English settlers used European indentured servants. And indentured servants are people who make agreements for their work for a specified amount of time or until, you know, the servant, you know, reached a certain age. Some of them did it in order to gain passage to America or to escape debt and poverty in their own country. So, along with enslaved indigenous people, indentured servants were these groups of people who were enslaved and had forced labor. They were victims of the white men who were developing the land. The interesting thing is these groups of enslaved and forced labor victims often worked side by side and commingled socially with no problem. In this early period, enslavement was not an automatic condition. There were free black men, and I know people have a really difficult time with this, but not every black man was a slave. Nor did it uniformly apply to all African and African descended people. The boundaries between groups were more flexible back then, but began to shift over the next few decades to make very strict distinctions between people, which eventually became law. The category of white expanded or contracted in the early 20th century to include various groups of people, such as the Italians and the Eastern European immigrants that were coming to America. Other groups, such as the Chinese, indigenous people, and black people, would remain outside the world of white. As a result, they would struggle to gain the same privileges afforded to whites, such as voting, education, citizenship, and a share in the nation's wealth. Acceptance into American culture was closely linked with the assimilation of white, thereby creating an unconscious connection between who is American and being white with all its whiteness privileges. This white dominant culture also operated as a social mechanism that grants advantage to white people, since they can navigate society both by feeling normal and being viewed as normal. Persons who identified as white really have to think about their racial identity because they live within a culture where whiteness has been normalized. White people do not have to worry about driving while white, walking around a store. They don't have to worry about their sons being beat up by police officers or even murdered at a traffic stop. Thinking about race is very different for non-white persons living in the United States of America. People of color, black people, must always consider their racial identity. Whatever the situation, due to the systemic and interpersonal racism and white supremacy that still exists, black people have always had to look over their shoulder. So the origins of race is highly volatile, but nowhere in the Constitution does it say that white rules. History shows that there were Europeans that did not want to stay in their own country due to persecution and oppression. So they created what they experienced in their homeland to conquer land using brutality. That is the sins of the father that white people, racist people, do not want to admit to or tell their children about. Their ancestors did heinous acts, which is factual and is American history, and should be told. It should be passed on to their children. It is documented United States of American history. So let's sum this up. I think, you know, it's a tough topic, and it can be explosive on many levels. But at this time in the United States of America, given what's going on in our country, we need to talk about the truth. And we also need to decide that we are going to put myths and fantasies to sleep permanently. Because all it does is divide us, and the truth of the matter is, it happened. It's history, and white people were involved. Is it something that our generation should be embarrassed about? I would say no. Is it the sins of the father? I would say yes. Should white people reckon with it? I would say yes. Because the more we keep, you know, creating this kind of mythical thought that only white people can have power, only white people can have privilege, only white people can rule the United States of America, all we're doing is dividing our democracy. Because the fact of the matter is, you know, black people and white people get along. Good white people and good black people can be at the table together. Their children play together. They go to church together. So we can't keep making this, you know, a white issue. This is a white supremacy issue. And I think what white people need to decide is what side you're going to be on. You know, are you, you know, a good person that just wants to live their life and take care of their families? Or do you want to be this heinous, hateful person that is running around with myths in their head and then passing it on to their children? I don't think that's a wise idea. So the question becomes, at this present moment, do we want white supremacists to continue to brutalize, cheat, and lie to maintain power and privilege in the United States of America? Or do we come together and seek reality to squash the myths and fantasy and move forward as we, the people, black and white, we, the people? So, yeah, the cards are on the table. You have something to think about. It's a lot. And I'm sure for some people it's painful, but it's painful for the people who had to endure it. Okay? It's painful for people whose ancestors died for it. And to think that black people are just going to continue to turn the other cheek is a major misconception, in my humble opinion. Because eventually, black people are going to get tired. They're going to get tired of, you know, their sons being killed, their daughters being killed. They're going to get tired. So all I'm asking is to look at the cards on the table and address how you would feel if the shoe was on the other foot. So the cards are on the table. Think about it. Talk about it. Imagine yourself or your children or your family in the opposite person's shoes. How would you feel? And what would you want done?
Well, I leave you to look at this card on the table. See it from a different kaleidoscope. Think about it. Make sure you're getting the truth. Form an opinion and engage in courageous conversations. Just say no. In closing, I will leave you with my theme mantra for this podcast that I believe is an inspiring credo on how to change the humanity of the world. A quote by one of my all-time favorite orators after he returned from Mecca. In peace, I close out this episode with the analysis of Malcolm X when he said, "Ignorance of each other is what has made unity impossible. Therefore, we need enlightenment. We need more light about each other. Light creates understanding. Understanding creates love. Love creates patience, and patience creates unity once we have more knowledge about each other. We will stop condemning each other, and a united front will be brought about." So, until we connect and put the next card on the table, I encourage you to paint your story of this podcast episode and talk it up by having courageous conversations with your family and friends. Stay well, mind, body, and spirit. So while we're on the topic of the reality of whiteness, I think this is a good time to mention that with the diversity we have in the country presently and what it's growing to, a lot of people assume if they were identified as white in their motherland country, that they will be white in the United States of America. And that is incorrect. So the federal government basically has, I believe it's 9 titles for race. But when they identify as white, it is meant to be European white, Anglo-Saxon white. It is not considered to be tan, cream, or even honey vanilla or honey caramel. That would come under being black. And that upsets a lot of people. I remember when I was in social work, people, you know, would get upset because white only refers to European white. You know, it's just like when the Italians came, when the Lebanese came, they thought they could identify as white, but it didn't work. They had problems just like black people had problems. So I just want to be clear on that, that just because you identify as white in your motherland does not mean you are considered white in the United States of America. So let's sum this up. I think, you know, it's a tough, tough topic, and it can be explosive on many levels. But at this time in the United States of America, given what's going on in our country, we need to talk about the truth. And we also need to decide that we are going to put myths and fantasies to sleep permanently, because all it does is divide us. And the truth of the matter is, it happened. It's history, and white people were involved. Is it something that our generation should be embarrassed about? I would say no. Is it the sins of the father? I would say yes. Should white people reckon with it? I would say yes. Because the more we keep, you know, creating this kind of mythical thought that only white people can have power, only white people can have privilege, only white people can rule the United States of America, all we're doing is dividing our democracy. Because the fact of the matter is, you know, black people and white people get along. Good white people and good black people can be at the table together. Their children play together. They go to church together. So we can't keep making this, you know, a white issue. This is a white supremacy issue. And I think what white people need to decide is what side you're going to be on. You know, are you, you know, a good person that just wants to live their life and take care of their families? Or do you want to be this heinous, hateful person that is running around with myths in their head and then passing it on to their children? I don't think that's a wise idea. So the question becomes, at this present moment, do we want white supremacists to continue to brutalize, cheat, and lie to maintain power and privilege in the United States of America? Or do we come together
and seek reality to squash the myths and fantasy and move forward as we, the people, black and white, we, the people. So, yeah, the cards are on the table. You have something to think about. It's a lot. And I'm sure for some people it's painful, but it's painful for the people who had to endure it. Okay? It's painful for people whose ancestors died for it. And to think that black people are just going to continue to turn the other cheek is a major misconception, in my humble opinion. Because eventually, black people are going to get tired. They're going to get tired of, you know, their sons being killed, their daughters being killed. They're going to get tired. So all I'm asking is to look at the cards on the table and address how you would feel if the shoe was on the other foot. So the cards are on the table. Think about it. Talk about it. Imagine yourself or your children or your family in the opposite person's shoes. How would you feel? And what would you want done? So while we're on the topic of the reality of whiteness, I think this is a good time to mention that with the diversity we have in the country presently and what it's growing to, a lot of people assume if they were identified as white in their motherland country, that they will be white in the United States of America. And that is incorrect. So the federal government basically has, I believe it's 9 titles for race. But when they identify as white, it is meant to be European white, Anglo-Saxon white. It is not considered to be tan, cream, or even honey vanilla or honey caramel. That would come under being black. And that upsets a lot of people. I remember when I was in social work, people, you know, would get upset because white only refers to European white. You know, it's just like when the Italians came, when the Lebanese came, they thought they could identify as white, but it didn't work. They had problems just like black people had problems. So I just want to be clear on that just because you identify as white in your motherland does not mean you are considered white in the United States of America.